God, our Savior. So, beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, whenever I'm flying to my destination, I am really thankful that the pilots followed a checklist before ever taking off. Check, check, check. A checklist to make sure all was in readiness. The plane was fit to fly. The pilots are reminded of doing all things by the book. Now, as you and I, as Christians, begin every new day, our daily lives, do you and I follow a checklist to make sure we are ready, prepared as those headed for glory? Do we follow a checklist to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ Jesus, so our lives reflect our hope in Him? Before you and I go into the world of our daily lives, do we take some moments to check off the benefits that are ours by faith in Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the gospel? Do we, confessing Christian, check off, I am born of God by His regenerating work? I am a child of God. Check. I belong to Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil. Check. To live unto God. Check. Do we check off, I've been restored to God's favor? Check. I'm in fellowship with the light? Check. So that I might walk in the light as a follower of Jesus, who is my Savior, who is my light. Do we check off before we head off into another new day? I am of the people of God, whom He saved in Christ Jesus, that we might live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's from Timothy 2. That's what Paul instructed Timothy to preach to the congregation. Do we check that off? That's what we are called to do because of who we are in Christ. God chose me to be conformed to the image of Christ. Check. Before you go out into the world, God is working in me to will and to work according to His good pleasure. Check. From Philippians 2. Do we check off before we go into another new day in this troubled world? The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. From Romans 8. Check. Do we check off this hope of our faith from our text? We know that when Christ Jesus appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him as He is. Check. And do we take to heart the following verse, to the one we just read, that we read in our text? Do we take to heart this verse, and everyone who has this hope in Him, that is in Christ, purifies himself as He, Christ Jesus, is pure? Check. Check, check, check. Do we do this? Do we remind ourselves of what Christ has done for us and who we are as we go out into a new day? See, these are truths of the Christian faith. We genuine, born-again Christians, we use those truths. We are to use those truths to renew our minds. That means we hear it again, we hear it again, we remind ourselves of them so our minds are being renewed so that what? Our lives might be transformed. Romans 12, 1. So our lives, we renew our minds with these truths. Check, check, check. So our lives may reflect our hope of Christ's appearing and we being made like Him. So checking off, bringing to mind these great doctrines of the Christian faith that we all ought to have learned, that we should be actively growing in our understanding of them, abiding in our knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and who we are in him. That's how our lives reflect our hope, that our hope is in him. Now, for anyone who doesn't really know Jesus Christ, to believe in him, to trust in him, that is the Jesus Christ testified to by the gospel, not the Jesus Christ of someone's imagination or the teaching of false teachers, but the Jesus Christ of the Word, of the gospel. If you don't really know him, you can't believe in him, you can't trust in him, and you can't live now in that hope of the glory of us who are his. And that's why we proclaim, witness the gospel. We want others to come to know him rightly, so they too may have their lives reflected that, yes, I am saved. I'm in Christ. I'm looking ahead to glory. See, the glory that we look ahead to, that's ours in Christ, for which he saved us, that glory of ours is yet hidden in Christ. But it will be revealed when he comes again. Our glory will then be revealed. That's what we look forward to. And then, yes, when he does appear visibly, that's his second coming, appear visibly in glory with all of his angels, we'll be there to see him with our own eyes. Then you and I will finally be glorified as Jesus is glorified. And then you and I who trust in him, who know him, whose lives are being transformed by him, we will be like him and enter into everlasting glory. That's the great hope that we have. That's the consummation. Our hope is the consummation of everything that God decreed in eternity and has been working out in all of history. It's the purpose of all of history, that consummation. His called people glorified to his glory for all eternity. That's what we look forward to. That's our hope in Jesus Christ. And so we need to bring these truths to our minds regularly. Be good to bring them to mind every morning. So we know this day that we are those who look to glory and our lives reflect who we are in Christ. Paul puts it this way, helpful to us as well, in 1 Corinthians 5, I believe it is. With unveiled faces, we are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. In other words, it's a process until finally the full glory that is ours in Christ will be revealed when he appears in glory. So in that certain hope, that is the hope of true faith, we Christians may live now not as does the world, with hope that is just wishful thinking. If your hope is not in Christ, it's just wishful thinking. If you're hoping for some sort of afterlife in heaven, we may live now as we have that hope, not as does the world, with their satisfaction with this life, frustrated by hardships, by sufferings, by things out of their control, by worry, by lack of joy, by lack of contentment, by lack of peace. That's how the world lives, but not us. If we remind ourselves of what Christ has done for us and what we are in him. See, only by faith in Jesus Christ and by grasping more and more who he is and what he has done and what we are in him is there real hope. Real hope. Assured hope. Hope that is then reflected by our lives that are lived in that hope. We live in that hope as we go forth every day into a troubled world, cursed by sin, our flesh still attached to us in our mortal bodies, evil all around us. Our old man, the devil, always trying to have our old man rule over our conduct, our behavior, our perspective. But if we remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, what he's done for us, we live in hope. We can rejoice. We can have joy no matter what the circumstances are because we know what awaits us. Glory. Glory. in Christ. But we all know, I think if you're honest with yourself, you know this. You know what is prone to happen to us Christians if we don't use that checklist? If we aren't continuously renewing our minds with these great truths we confess? What's likely to happen to us as we go into a new day without reminding ourselves of the benefits of Christ that are ours? What tends to happen? We lose perspective. That's what happens. We are prone to then to live by sight rather than by faith. We know that's the case. We are prone to respond to our circumstances, whatever they may be, not by our hope in Christ, but according to our flesh. We grumble, we complain. This isn't what I wanted. How could God do this to me? We might even say. We listen to our old man. And we know what that looks like because we've all done it. And we may be doing it more now than we even realize. We're prone, if we don't remind ourselves of what Christ has done for us and who we are in him, we're prone to act selfishly. It's all about me. We don't love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We walk more in the darkness than we walk in the light. We're not keeping Christ's commands. We don't think they're important if we're not reminding ourselves of the holiness of God and his righteousness and therefore his commandments. And if we are prone to these things and we do live as does the world in some aspect of life at least because we're not reminding ourselves of our benefits in Christ, if Jesus showed up, we'd be ashamed. John talked about that earlier on. See, all this should sound familiar to you who have been here for this preaching series from the Apostle John's first letter. He's been setting all this forth, the characteristics of a life that assures that, yes, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. My profession of faith is genuine. Because look what he has done for me as evidenced by my transformed life. See, that's always how the Bible presents to us the Christian life. It's the fruit of what Christ has done for you and me. It's because we, saved by grace through faith, we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So when we do them, when we live for God, when we do what is pleasing to him, when we discipline ourselves to live that way on the basis of trusting in God's grace and Christ strengthening us, we're doing what God prepared us, the works he prepared beforehand. We're demonstrating that we are his workmanship. That's a great assurance of being saved. I am the workmanship of God in Christ. Check. Remind yourself of that as you go into a new day. I am the workmanship of God in Christ. That's meant to transform our lives. By his power, by his strengthening me, by his always sufficient sustaining grace, I may serve not my glory, but his. It's not really all about me. It's about God. It's about his son, Jesus Christ. As Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But you can't live that way unless you remind yourself of these great truths. Check, check, check. What has Christ done for me? Who I am in him. But for the sake of God's glory, for the sake of his glory, we in Christ will be glorified. As was the manhood of Jesus. The manhood of Jesus. The divine nature was always in glory. But the manhood, he became flesh. Suffered in the flesh, died in the flesh, was raised in the flesh, was glorified in the flesh, and we will be like him. That's the end. That's the purpose of our salvation, to be like him so we might be fully holy and righteous before God to his glory. We live in the hope of that glory. That's what John is telling us. We may have that hope because of what the scriptures teach us about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And yes, our glory is yet hidden. The glory that will be revealed when he comes back is hidden yet. Our glory is hidden in Christ because he's not here. He's not visible. It's hidden. But it'll be revealed when he comes back. Then we'll see our own glory because we see his glory. We'll be made like him. See, that's why Colossians 3, Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells the Christian church there that we are to set our minds on the things which are above. Check. Set your minds on the things which are above, because your real life is hidden in the ascended Christ. He's up there. That's where we should be focused on. Set our minds on that, on his kingdom, on who he is, and he'll come back and we'll be made like him. When he appears, he who is your life will appear, and you will appear with him in glory, Colossians also teaches us. Same thing as John says. See, even though our glory is not yet visible, we know it will be revealed. Why do we know that? Because the gospel tells us. It's one of those great truths of the Christian faith that we need to remind ourselves of as we go into a new day. That's why doctrine is so important. Because it teaches us, in summary, what the scriptures actually teach us about who we are in Christ, what he's done for us, who we are in him, and what is our destiny. Check. Now, in this text, really, John gives us the three tenses of our salvation. He tells us about what's already taken place. It's in the past. It's already happened. It's ours. Secondly, he points ahead to what will be the future of our salvation. Then in the middle, right now, in this present age, the aspect of the present salvation is our sanctification. That's what God is doing now in preparation for the final, the triumphant, the glorious part of our salvation. See, what's in the past is that you're a child of God. That's already happened. That happened through the work of Christ on the cross and the application of that work by faith to you. You are a child of God as you come, as God brings you the faith in Jesus Christ. As you trust in his work, as you know the God who is, you are his child in Jesus Christ, adopted as his children in Christ. That's a done deal. That's in the past. And again, John says, what we will be revealed when he comes back. That's the future tense of our salvation, our glorification. That's the consummation of our salvation. And so we know these things. But right now, we also know that God is at work in us to conform us to the image of his Son, to make us more conformed to Jesus, the man who was fully righteous and was glorified in the body. So we will be like him. So presently, in this present age, God is working in us to do what? To live godly lives, sensible lives, awaiting the appearing of Christ, as Paul teaches Titus to preach to the congregation. Check. Jesus said to us really the same thing that John is saying here in terms of our future. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, which I am, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself. It's from John 14. And that hope is assured to us, our future tense of salvation, what we look ahead to, the hope in which we live. It's a sure hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's a sure hope. Because God promised it. And all of his promises are yes in Jesus Christ, the crucified, resurrected, ascended, and coming back to fulfill, to consummate all of salvation. So John is really stating the same doctrine that the Apostle Paul does. We shouldn't be surprised. It's all God's word. Romans 8, for I am sure, that's how we may live. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that love extends to its culmination when our glory is finally revealed at the appearance of Christ. That's the hope in which we Christians live. I am Christ's. God has loved me, loves me, will love me all the way to glorifying me. Check. That's perspective for living in this troubled world. And one more truth to be checked by us as we go forth to live in a new day is this assurance of our glorification. Also from Romans 8, verse 29, in this case, I mentioned it already. For those whom he foreknew, in other words, when he chose us in eternity to be united to Christ, to be his body, his church, those he foreknew, he also predestined. In other words, this I plan on happening because of my sovereign will, it will happen. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. In other words, we will be like him. And in the meantime, before he comes and we'll be made like him, he's preparing us, making us more like him as he sanctifies us. So what we have presented to us as truth by God's word, written under inspiration by the Apostle John here in our text, and it's summarized in our Reformed confessions again, is the three stages of our salvation. What's already true of us? We're children of God, justified, reconciled to God, assured of eternal life, because God preserves us whom he chose unto glory, because he's sovereign. Then the future, again, our glorification, being made like Jesus when he appears. We'll see him in glory and will be glorified then as we see him. And thirdly, now. This is what applies to us right now. All who live in this hope purify themselves as he, Christ, is pure. Now, we should understand that this sanctification, this purifying of ourselves, this transforming of ourselves to become more like Jesus, become more like his manhood, to walk more as he walked, which is to walk in the light. This transformation is inevitable. It's inevitable because it's the effect of God working in us Christians now in this present life. He's at work in us. That's how it happens. That's our sanctification. Our lives testifying progressively more so that we are redeemed indeed from the power of sin to live unto God because we have a new life in him. We are a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. Notice how John applies this present tense of our salvation to us Christians. Remember, he's talking to little children. He's talking to us whom he loves. He's talking, you know, to those who are still abiding in Christ, haven't gone off like some of the false teachers. He's talking to Christians. He says, everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he, Jesus, is pure. Now, what does purifying mean? Now, in the Old Testament, it was ritual. It was ceremonial. They had to wash their clothes. They washed themselves. It was ceremonial because they were going in the presence of him who has no filth, who has no sin, who is perfectly holy, God. And they couldn't even get close to him, just into his outer courts. And yet they had to purify themselves, as we read. So purifying ourselves, as God speaks to us as those who are in Christ, it's now purifying of ourselves, of who we are. In other words, to amend our lives. It's not just ceremonial. We don't purify ourselves by taking a bath in the morning. We don't purify ourselves when we do the laundry. That's not what's talking about here. It's amending our lives. Again, by God's grace and by being strengthened by Christ. Again, we amend our lives to fit the picture of life as Paul taught Timothy to preach the congregation, living holy, godly, righteous lives in this present age as we await the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so, purifying ourselves is really to deny ungodliness. That's what Paul writes. Deny ungodliness. That is, don't partake of ungodliness. Deny worldly desires that are of the flesh, instigated by the devil. Don't love the world's fleshly values, its immoral standards. That's what it means to deny ungodliness. And to purify oneself is also to live sensibly. That is to reflect on all the mercies of God that are yours in Jesus Christ. What God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And see, it's only reasonable, sensible to offer up our bodies as living sacrifices to God. How could we not? We would be living the antithesis of what we confess. To purify ourselves and to live righteously, that is putting to death the old man, that is obeying God, doing his will rather than our will, which comes out of our old man. So purifying ourselves is to live a godly life in this present age. Godly, meaning we reflect the image of God by who we are as people, by how we live. Again, purifying ourselves in our text, it's a present tense. It's a present active tense, meaning it's an ongoing process. It's what we do as long as we have breath in this earth. Now, we know we will not arrive at purity like that of Jesus. We will not arrive there until he appears. But that doesn't take away the fact that it's our goal. It's our purpose, because we anticipate being like that. And so we purify ourselves because we live in the hope of being made like Jesus. And notice John here does not say we ought to purify ourselves. That's not what this text actually says. He rather states that purifying oneself is what a believer in Jesus Christ does. You get that? Because it's an effect of salvation. It's an effect of the mercies of God. Our sanctification too is in Jesus Christ, Paul tells us. So purifying ourselves is really an outworking in our lives of the truth we believe, truth we confess, the truth of which we renew our minds. And as we Christians do renew our minds with who we are in Christ, what he's done for us, check, 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 we will hate the darkness all the more. And we will purify ourselves of it and our desires from the flesh to partake of it. So the more we check off, in other words, we remind ourselves, renew our minds with what Christ has done for us and who we are in him, he's redeemed us from the bondage of sin. We're not enslaved to Satan anymore. We're not in bondage to the power of sin. Then the more we seek after righteousness, and thus we purify ourselves of lawless deeds, which is anything that's contrary to the will of God revealed in his law. And our desire for those things starts to fade away. That's how God works. We're putting to death the old man from which the propensity towards darkness comes. We're purifying ourselves because we live in the hope of being pure, that purity of ours revealed at Christ's return. Now we know that our purifying ourselves, let's make this clear, our purifying ourselves is possible only as God is at work in us. This is not some sort of a program you put out there and say, hey, here's what Christians are to do, and just make it a check mark of things to do, as though you can just do those in your own power. The life of holiness is not a program. It's an effect of our salvation. It's an effect of God working in us to do what is well-pleasing to him. And so we do discipline ourselves because God works that in us. And God is keeping his promise as we are purifying ourselves in his strength by his grace. He's keeping his promise that he will bring to completion until the day of Jesus Christ the good work he started in us, which he started in us when he first brought us to faith, gave us new birth. Now, John is not saying here that this purification of ourselves just happens by magic as soon as we become those who confess faith in Jesus Christ. God uses means instrumental to our purifying ourselves. And what are those means? It's his mind-renewing gospel, the life-transforming word applied to us by his Spirit. With its promises, the word with its promises that God will be our God and we shall be his people. You know, so God also calls us to purify ourselves using all the means of grace. That's what the Apostle Paul does. We read it this morning from 2 Corinthians 7. God says, having these promises, in other words, I will be your God. You're my children. I've saved you in Christ Jesus to live to my glory. You will inherit eternal life. Yours is the kingdom. All these promises Paul has been writing about in all of his epistles, inspired by God himself, by Christ. And he says now, having these promises, therefore, notice therefore means, here's the doctrine now, therefore apply it to your life. Having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's purifying ourselves. And as we are Christians who have realized, we're sinners who have realized God's promises in Christ, we've realized them, we believe them, we appropriate them for ourselves by the faith God has worked in our hearts. We know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation made complete, that the return of Jesus Christ is his appearing. And therefore, we heed that call to be purifying ourselves, to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh, because we're going to be pure one day. And we now want to live in keeping with our standing before God and what we will be. See, the Apostle Paul's admonition to the Corinthians to mortify, therefore, your members, which are on this earth, is a call to purifying ourselves. And we have to realize that our sinful flesh won't be purified unless you and I are actively, willfully purifying ourselves. Again, it's not magic. It's not magic. We do so because we're enabled by Christ and His Spirit, so we can apply our redemption to our daily lives. So the question is, and I'm sure you've asked yourself this, I've asked myself this as well. For us who profess Jesus Christ, why do we so often seem to not be purifying ourselves? Why is that? Why do we so often still seem to be so self-centered and, you know, not paying much attention to the godly life to which we're called and just sort of focusing our, you know, making it in this world and doing it with the least amount of hassle and, you know, just sort of, you know, taking the easy way out a lot of times? Why are we still seem to be loving the world and giving into the lust of the flesh and following ours rather than God's revealed will, Christ's revealed will? Why are we still people who so often grumble and complain about the way life is, whether it's a matter of health, whether it's a matter of finances, whether it's a matter of relationships, whatever it might be? We're not content so often, it seems. Why? Why is that? Well, I think the good answer is that we don't grasp like we should what Christ has done for us and who we are in him and what we shall be. Why aren't those great truths of the faith effective as they ought to be for our daily lives? Because we too often take off, I think this is how it happens, we too often take off into a new day without first having completed the checklist. Check, check, check. I'm a child of God. I'm redeemed from the power of sin. I'm going to glory. I will be pure. I belong to Christ. I'm not my own. I think that's lacking in so many of our lives, that we don't do that. You know, as I was writing the sermon, I was thinking, you know, actually, it might be helpful if you actually made such a checklist on your computer. You know, just print out all these great truths of what Christ has done for you and who you are in him. Hang it on your bathroom mirror and, you know, put columns so you can make check marks every day before you go out into the world. Remind yourself, renew your mind. I think that would, you know, just transform us. So my hope is for all of us who profess Jesus Christ that our lives would indeed reflect our hope in Jesus Christ. So let's be checking off those great salvation truths and then be purifying ourselves by the grace and strength of God to live each day in every aspect of our lives as one who is on the way to being glorified, being made like Jesus to his glory. So here again, this last verse of our text, everyone who does hopes in Jesus Christ purifies himself as he is pure. May that be true of all of us who claim to believe in the Jesus Christ of the gospel. Amen.